Word on Today FM.
Before we hear from Marion McKeown and Cal Thomas, let's hear a little bit from the candidates from among their final speeches. Let's start with a bit of Donald Trump from his final campaign speech in Michigan last night.
November 5th, today, will be the most important day in the history of our country. And together we will make America powerful again. We will make America wealthy again. We will make America healthy again. Bobby Kennedy Jr. We will make America strong again. We will make America proud again. We will make America safe again. And we will make America great again. I love you. I love you all. God bless you. God bless you, Michigan. God bless the United States of America.
So that was Donald Trump. Let's hear a little bit of Kamala Harris's penultimate campaign speech, which she made in Pittsburgh last night.
So much about these last several years has been about trying to make people point their fingers at each other, to have Americans point their fingers at each other, to try and make people feel alone or feel small. But let us do the work as we work toward this win of building up community and coalition and reminding everyone that we have so much more in common than what separates us. Let that be our goal. And let us remind everyone, your vote is your voice and your voice is your power. So one last time, Pittsburgh, I ask you, are you ready to make your voices heard? Do we believe in freedom? Do we believe in opportunity? Do we believe in the promise of America? And are we ready to fight for it? And when we fight, we win. God bless you, and God bless the United States of America.
So that's Kamala Harris. So, Cal Thomas, let me start with you. Before we get into it, we've plenty of time, so I'm not asking you to make any predictions in relation to the outcome and the rest of it. I'd like you just to consider the performances of both of the candidates in their campaign in the last couple of weeks. What have you made of the way that both of them have been behaving?
Well, it's somewhat ironic, Matt, that Kamala Harris would come out on just the last 2 days of the campaign against name-calling and labeling when she and Joe Biden have been doing that for a considerable period of time. But I'll tell you what concerns me more, and we talked about the name-calling and the labeling and the demeaning of other people, and I reject all of that, no matter which side it comes from. But here are some greater concerns. This campaign is costing $16 billion. That is just an obscenity to me. That money could be spent so much better on other things. Our election seasons are too long. They cost too much. And the other thing that's interesting is 79% of Americans believe this country is on the wrong track. And yet, the Real Clear Politics poll averages says the race is tied, 48.5 to 48.5. I don't see how those two things match up. If a huge majority, believe things are on the wrong track, why would half of the country still vote for Kamala Harris?
Can I just go back to the very first thing you said about the name calling by Joe Biden and Kamala Harris? No. Has that been a fraction of, even a small fraction of the name calling that Donald Trump and J.D. Vance have been doing? Because I can't understand why you'd single out Biden and Harris for something that, by any objective analysis, has been done more of and in a more vicious way by Trump and Vance.
Well, are we keeping score now?
I mean, yes.
If a wrong is wrong, it's wrong no matter how many times one says it. I mean, look, Kamala Harris compared the Trump rally at Madison Square Garden to the pro-Nazi rally of 1939. I agree that Trump has used far more bad language, but he can't come out now 2 days before the election and talk about unity and goodwill and all of this other stuff. And you mentioned Bobby Kennedy, or Trump did, in the beginning. You know, I don't want him near a chemist shop, much less near the United States government. This guy reminds me of the General Jack D. Ripper in the movie Dr. Strangelove, who was concerned about our vital bodily fluids. Keep this guy away.
Marion McCone, just that point that Cal brought up there in relation to the name-calling. And I'm putting it to him that this was started by Trump and taken up by Vance, and has been far more vicious than anything that has been done on the Democratic side. Or is this an example of my so-called Trump derangement syndrome, as claimed by some of the listeners, Marion?
Well, I'm sorry, I'm still laughing at Cal, but, and the only name I call Cal is my dear friend Cal Thomas. So I am not a Democrat. I'm just saying this objectively about it. I'm laughing at your comment about Bobby Kennedy, because honestly, if Trump thinks that saying that Bobby Kennedy is going to have the run of the health services, which he has said, that he let him go crazy, being the operative word, on health, that is not a good closing argument. No, I disagree with Cal, and I disagree with the assertion that there's anything comparable, and we shouldn't even have to compare. It's so sad where we're at. I want to pick up one thing very quickly. Cal, $16 billion, I wrote about that a couple of weeks back on this election. It's an absolute disgrace. And you know why it is that? Because the Citizens United case of 2011, the conservative majority of the Supreme Court said, have at it, corporations. Corporations can spend whatever the hell they want in the US elections. And that's why we are where we are there. But back to the main.
Sorry, no, hold on one second, actually, Marion. There's a really interesting point here from Frida in Skerries, who says, it was the Republican Supreme Court that made it possible for dark money to be used in the election. Yep. The Democrats wanted to stop. The Republicans wanted it to be continued. That's why billions are being spent. Pull the billionaires and millionaires out of the election. Go back to a maximum of $2,000 donation per person.
And that's what it was before Chief Justice John Roberts and the majority said. It's been described by legal scholars, by past presidents, by so many people, as the single worst decision that the US Supreme Court ever made. And God knows there's plenty to choose from at the moment. But it will always stand as one of the worst decisions that just really unleashed the floodgates of corruption and pay-to-play and corporate domination and billionaire domination of the races. So, but yeah, the name-calling, it's been horrific, it's been ugly. There's been nothing like it on the side of the Democrats compared to Donald Trump. Yesterday, J.D. Vance called Kamala Harris trash. That was almost mild by comparison to what they've been saying. This is my sixth election, and I've never seen anything like the ugliness, the viciousness, including the third one Donald Trump's involved in. And I think Kamala Harris's message, look, she's sounding like a winner. You know, that's all that's to it. Her final rally on the steps in Philadelphia last night, you know, it's not just that there's the excitement. It was that Cal, I disagree. She's been speaking about inclusivity and bringing people together. She's only been in the race for 107 days. I think she's run a terrific campaign, and I think all credit to her. We'll see what happens, but I think she should be proud of the campaign she ran.
Okay, I want to play another clip. Sorry, Cal, yes?
Well, I'm just going to say she's run a stealth campaign. The only thing we know she stands for is abortion on demand. She has not said anything about foreign policy. She said nothing about the economy other than she's going to go after price gougers at grocery stores. Now, that has absolutely no credibility whatsoever. She didn't answer good questions on 60 Minutes. She didn't ask good questions on Fox News. She goes on all of these liberal-friendly shows like The View and other things I've never heard of, and never gets down to specifics. So she really is the stealth candidate. And a lot of people who are voting for her, I think, are voting for her because they don't like Trump, not because they support her policies, which they don't know what they are.
And how many interviews has Donald Trump done with people he would regard as hostile to him? What specifics has he given beyond the idea of tariffs on imports, which would only increase inflation dramatically? Why wouldn't he do a second debate after he was, by common consent, roundly defeated by her in the only debate that took place, and since which he has just tried to say that she has a low IQ, and when he lost that debate to her?
Yeah, well, I agree, and I've said before, and I've written about it in my column, he should have done a second debate and a third debate and a fourth debate. You can't do too many debates. Look, Trump answers questions from reporters all the time. He did that black journalist hostile event in Chicago. He has appeared before other hostile questioners. What was really interesting last night is that Megyn Kelly, who you met, Matt, in 2016 when you came to New York, and did the show from there, got up and endorsed Trump in glowing and flowing language. This was someone who offended Trump during the debate where Trump said that she had blood coming out of every orifice of her body. And it was just one of those terrible, terrible moments. But she's up there last night praising him as a defender of women, a defender of children, a defender of America. That really blew my mind.
Well, let's hear what other women might think. First of all, here's a clip highlighting why Republicans' ticket may have a problem with women voters. We're going to hear Donald Trump talking about Nancy Pelosi in his final campaign speech, and then J.D. Vance in his final speech referring to Kamala Harris.
Evil. She's an evil, sick, crazy. Oh, no. It starts with a B, but I won't say it. I want to say it.
But in 2 days, we are going to take out the trash in Washington, D.C., and the trash's name is Kamala Harris.
Marion, is this going to be something that might turn not just floating voters, floating female voters, but even Republican women towards Kamala Harris?
Yeah, you know, this is just a long line in a continuum of disrespect and, you know, just horrific misogyny that we've seen in this campaign. And it's not just about reproductive rights. It's about, it's the whole tenor of this campaign, the macho swaggering bro where women are just the targets of jokes, you know, snide comments, being disrespected. And I think that American women have had enough. And I think women at both ends of the spectrum, I've always said that this race is about demographics. And I think Gen Z and women are going to decide this election. And they are both pretty fed up with what they're hearing from the Trump campaign. And we've seen that older women as well. If you look at the people who vote already, women are voting ahead of men by 10%. Trump voters are absolutely motivated, but I really believe that women and younger voters are more motivated. And it's been so ugly, but I think that in a way this has exposed the depths of the misogyny in America and the racism and all of the stuff. And if, you know what, if it can reach a point where there is some kind of a reckoning on it, then maybe America will move forward. But I do feel that, as Kamala Harris said, in fact, you know, all of Trump's message of doom, America's a garbage can, it's, you know, all these, her message is one that's positive and uplifting. And the American people, in my experience, are by and large overwhelmingly good-spirited, they're generous and optimistic people. And I think that what she's saying resonates, will resonate more in the end than Donald Trump's, just that dystopian vindictive gloom. And you know, again, as I said, he thinks that he's bringing out the bro vote, but to speak about women the way that they've done in that campaign, all of them, is just absolutely shocking and disgusting.
Let's hear a little bit more of Donald Trump, because on his way to vote in Palm Beach, Donald Trump was asked by a reporter whether he would tell his supporters not to be violent if he loses.
I don't have to tell them that. I don't have to tell them that there'll be no violence. Of course there'll be no violence. My supporters are not violent people. I don't have to tell them that. And I certainly don't want any violence, but I certainly don't have to tell. These are great people. These are people that believe in no violence. Unlike your question, you believe in violence.
How does the question believe in violence? Carl Thomas, what do you make of that? I mean, this is one of the big concerns, that unless there is a clear victory for one side or the other, that this outcome will be contested, and that if it is contested, it could get ugly.
Well, Matt, Marion said she'd only been around for 6 elections. I've been around for a lot more than that. And I, as one who was born in Washington, D.C., and grew up there in that area, I'm very disturbed by seeing all of these fences, including prickly things on tops of fences around the White House in Congress. I understand that there are a lot of people who want to make sure that there's not a repetition of January 6th of almost 4 years ago. But it's very sad to see. This is the kind of thing you see in dictatorships and in people who have already decided how to fix an election. I just think it's very disturbing. And I think, you know, going back to something Marion said, women are not uniform in their voting. There are a lot of pro-life and conservative and Republican women out there. Same with African-Americans, who Trump is apparently getting more of than any Republican has before. So this talk of unity, if we had unity, we wouldn't have two parties. If we had unity, we wouldn't have one party in control of the White House or the Congress from time to time. So I think it's better to win the argument than just to call people names. I know Nancy Pelosi. She was my neighbor for a while in Washington. We live right next door to each other in a very, very nice apartment. And I saw her every morning. She was very pleasant. She's not an evil person. She's not somebody who rhymes with the word be. And to call people names, these are Americans. These are our fellow Americans. These are people whose relatives fought in World War II to preserve this nation. And I think we need to lift our language to a higher level, and if we don't, we're going to sink to the greater depths.
Marion, what about the worries of election interference by foreign agents, also then baseless voter fraud claims? And these have been amplified by the likes of Elon Musk and his social media platform X.
Yes, this is really worrying. Let's look at those two things. I mean, if you go to the election centres now in places like Detroit, Philadelphia, they've been identified as flashpoints, Arizona possibly also. The voting centres are surrounded by razor wire. There are concrete bollards outside them. There are armed guards. There are sniffer dogs. It is shocking to see that this is how elections are conducted in America in 2024. I've spoken to so many people in various aspects of branches of the security services. There are training, thousands of training sessions have been given to election workers. They've had real problems recruiting election workers because of the threats that were made in 2020 against people who just were going in and doing a job of counting and processing votes. Election officials have been targeted and threatened as well. And the amount of misinformation, the real danger is there won't be a January 6th. We've said that already. The 2022 law, which is not perfect, has taken care of that, but it hasn't addressed the potential for mischief on the ground. And by that, I mean, you have all of these county boards. Some of them are run by Republican election deniers. Some of them are run by Republican election deniers who signed false ballot slates in 2020 and who are currently on indictment for felony charges related to that. You've got election board people who, as I say, in Arizona and Cochise County, who are waiting criminal investigations, who are waiting trial for stuff they did in 2020. If there are delays, if there's an accusation like Giuliani made against Rudy Giuliani against Shea Moss and Ruby Freeman, that they were passing a sweet to each other, he said it was a USP stick full of false votes. If there are claims like that made and everything is so tense, or even ordinary human error, this could just spiral. And the FBI and the Department of Homeland Security and Law Enforcement are all very much concerned about that, particularly in specific counties in Pennsylvania and Arizona. And then you have, of course, the foreign threat. And as you said, all this has been whipped up by Elon Musk. Basically, the narrative has been, as we've discussed before, the only way Kamala Harris can win is if they cheat. And they're poised then, you know, for that. It's like 2016 and 2020. Trump will not concede. He will not admit that he's defeated. And then, as you said, the potential for foreign mischief, which I think they are concerned about foreign adversaries, Russia and others, but I don't think in this election it's as acute. There's also concerns about Iran meddling. There are concerns about China meddling. But I think for the moment, the immediate threat is on the ground violence in the next, I think, 24, 48, 72 hours if the election doesn't go the way Trump wants.
Carl, have you had an opportunity to vote yet?
Well, I did. And the thing that amazed me this morning as my wife and I voted, I thought there would be long lines. I was all set to interview people and ask them why they were voting for Trump or why they were voting for Harris. I showed up and nobody was there. There were only two people inside voting. There were more poll workers in Miami, where I vote, Florida, and there was just nobody there. I was shocked to see it. And yet, I think one of the reasons is that 81 million Americans have voted early. Now, most of the pundits and people who study this thing say that it benefits Donald Trump because this time he urged, unlike last time, for Republicans to vote early. With respect to what Marion was saying about voter fraud and breakdowns of machines, there's already a county in Pennsylvania, key state, which had machines broken down this morning, and they've urged people to put their ballots in a box and they'll be counted later. Uh-oh, that sounds kind of funny. I look back to India's last election. 61 million people voted in India, and they had the results within 24 hours. Why can't we adopt whatever India is doing? We should not have this kind of problem in the United States.
Carl, can I ask you, which way did you vote?
Sure you could ask me, but we have in America, Matt, what we call secret ballots. I was thinking of writing my own name in, but I couldn't afford the pay cut if I won.
Yeah, of course. I think you actually indicated to us previously on this program that you couldn't see your way to voting for Trump after January 6th and what he did to your mate Mike Pence and various other outrages. But, I mean, that would lead me to suspect you might have changed your mind.
It could have led you to suspect I might have changed my mind. That certainly is an option, Matt.
You don't get a vote, Marion, despite your lengthy time living in the States, do you?
No, I have an I visa. I work. I am not an American citizen. I'm not a green card holder. I'm an observer. And you know, I think it's going to be really interesting. The other thing I'm observing just very quickly is the Senate and House races. I spoke with a staffer of Nancy Pelosi's. They are confident that they're going to win the House back. Very confident. I suspect the Senate might be a different matter. But I think that this is going to be very important in terms of as well how January 6th is conducted, because there could be, I won't get into the weeds, a sort of a plot to try and have the, which was alluded to by Trump, in fact, to try and have the election decided by Congress rather than by the voters. So I think there's a lot going on. There are a lot of interesting Senate races going on. The Democrats still have a fever dream about winning Texas. You know, it's so crazy they might do it. But I just want to add one thing. I listened to an ad today from Robert F. Kennedy, and the ad for a second told me how crazy this election is, because he said, if you don't vote, there will be a totalitarian state by 2028. It'll be all over by 2028. He wasn't talking for the Democrats. He was talking for Donald Trump, that a Kennedy would come out and say the Democrats will impose a totalitarian state by 2028. It'll all be over too late. Just shows you how crazy this election season is.
All right. Thank you both. We look forward to having you with us on tomorrow's programme. We'll also be joined by Larry Donnelly and by Lawrence Donegan and possibly by others. We will have comprehensive analysis of what hopefully by that stage will be the outcome, but I think we'll have plenty to talk about no matter what happens. Thank you for all your contributions in the run-up to this vote, Mary McKeown and Cal Thomas, and look forward to talking to you tomorrow again.
The Last Word on Today FM.